Vince Inc. Clay on a tough Monday for the nation. We started the show, Vinny, by sending our regards, our apologies, saying how we felt silly and in a weird spot considering how much faith we put in this team to carry over that momentum from week two to week three. How do the Raiders respond? They get blown out in their home opener in front of their 60,000 plus. I believe it was a sold out crowd, was it not? I mean, just an absolute.
Had a playoff vibe to it.
I mean, it was loud. Mm-hmm. It was, there was an excitement pregame. I made sure to get there early because I always enjoy that walk over. It's a long walk from the media lot, but I enjoy that walk over and kind of walking through the tailgates a little bit, just seeing, you know, what the vibe is that day. And there's always a different vibe, right? That home opener, that first one of the season, especially coming off of what they came off of. But, man, talk about things taking a turn. And it started from the get-go. And, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I just felt – I remember saying it last week, and we'll never know if it was right, wrong, or indifferent. There was just something that felt if they won the toss – I wanted to see the offense go out there first and kind of establish something as opposed to and make Andy Dalton wait a little bit. Now, that's a small little thing that would have changed the game. Probably not based on what we saw for four quarters.
Sure.
But, you know, just to start on defense, the defense started slow. And now the offense has the ball and they're down 7-0. They're already kind of feeling the pressures of, oh, we got
to
go match
it now. The identity.
We got to go match it now. Mm-hmm. And they go with a 3-and-out. It was poor from the get-go. And let's dig into what is really the crux problem of this team, at least in the eyes of Antonio Pierce and his staff, and it's this run game. It just cannot go. And we saw Zamir White in the final four games of last season. He didn't just look good. He looked capable. He looked capable of being a number one guy. And week one, you know, Antonio Pierce is saying it's got to be pad level. It's on everybody. It's not just the line. It's on the runners. We got to get our pad level. We got to run through contact. Okay. Week two happens. 4 yards rushing in the first half. Antonio Pierce says, it's not our backs. It's our line. We need to get physical. Week three, more the same. I mean, the yardage obviously went up. So in theory, they got better, but it was disaster from the get-go, and you go run, incomplete, it's a 3-and-out. Run, incomplete, another 3-and-out to start the game, to start the second half.
And next thing you know, you've lost rhythm, and you see how quickly the identity of your defense is getting shredded by quick passes that Andy Dalton was doing, negating the pass rush, and the secondary was starting to get eaten alive. And you couldn't find any sort of semblance of stability on the defense. And the offense, it seemed like it kept building and building this kind of pressure on them to get plays and to make plays. That first touchdown drive almost made you feel like, okay, we're back to where it should be.
Yeah, they got it back going.
Because that was a big 10-play drive that ended in a touch.
And it's the way they did it, too. It was everything we hoped we would see in terms of this offense. Big play Trey Tucker, 54-yard completion, taking the top off the defense. Great ball, great route, great catch. All of a sudden, boom, here we go. Zamir White, 9-yard run. Find their way in the end zone.
How about the 3rd and 16?
How about it?
That they converted.
What'd you think of that?
There was never any point.
You're like, huh.
I'm talking about for Carolina.
Oh, on the opening drive?
It was. I don't think it was the opening drive. It might have been the second or third. It was on a scoring drive, and I think the Raiders had pinned them down.
There was the 23-yard first. Yeah, so Robert Spillane gets a sack in the second quarter,
yes.
Brings up 3rd and long, 23-yard completion for first down
what
to
ends
Deontay
up
Johnson.
On that drive?
They took a touchdown.
Yeah.
But it was that 23-yard first down catch was followed up by a 35-yard completion over the middle.
There was never any point in yesterday's game where I felt confident the Raiders' defense was after that first drive. It was like, this bad feeling of they're going to get run on. They're getting 5, 6 yards, 7
Chunk
yards
plays.
Every single
Chunk
time
plays.
They wanted. they got themselves into so many third and two or third and threes because they were able to run the ball on first and second down whenever they wanted to. They converted, I believe, some third downs on run plays. The Raiders couldn't get a third and of what they run that the quarterback sneak on fourth, and it felt like over a yard. Why are you running a quarterback sneak right there with?
I have a bigger problem with that play. It was a first down. Gardner.
The play before was they didn't challenge it.
That's what I'm saying. That you're compounding one wrong move with another.
Yeah.
As opposed to instead of hurry up and snap it, wait a minute. Let your guys up top tell you it was a first down.
Then they also called a timeout. because they felt like, all right, we're going to pin them down here. You know, it was another. If you could go to that, you have it up over there. It was at the end of the half, and Indianapolis. Jeez, man, I'm getting my teams mixed up. All these bad losses that the Raiders have had. Carolina is down on in their neck of the woods, and the Raiders call a timeout because they figure you want to get the ball back and maybe do something with it, and they can't stop them. And then all of a sudden, that actually helped the Panthers. And so it was I didn't understand that timeout. It was right before the 2-minute warning. Remember?
Yeah.
And I think they scored. they either scored or they took some more time. Whatever. It was just a bad decision.
So there's two drives that I sit there and I question the.
Just never felt they were in control.
The game management part of it is what was put into. If we're talking on those, so
for sure.
One you were talking about, Minshew gets sacked. This is in the third quarter. So this is after the Panthers go up 24-7 on a nut. So the Raiders go 3-and-out to start the second half. Panthers go down the field, kick a 43-yard field goal. The next drive is the one where you started to feel finally some sense of urgency from the team. Minshew gets sacked. I believe it was on first down, second down. Minshew scrambles on third down for the first down.
Yeah.
It was a bad spot.
Yes.
Bad spot. They go for it on the fourth. He gets absolutely stuffed. Not a chance. But there was a play. There was a drive in the second quarter. It was the one immediately after the Panthers went up 14-7.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers, it was the first time I've seen a failed landing zone kick.
Yes, yes.
The Raiders, all of a sudden, Clay, in business.
They're at the 40-yard line.
At the 40-yard line. First play, play action pass to Devontae on a play that they've run every single week on that play action, that comeback route.
By the way, lack of use for Brock Bowers, but let's.
Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Play action pass, Devontae, first down. Things are cooking, right? Because they're just coming off the drive where they just went 10 plays.
Nice 15-yard play. Yep.
Run game struggles again. Back-to-back plays of the run game going nowhere. They go for it on third and short. I believe it was third and two. Incomplete to Brock Bowers on a late throw.
Punt.
On a late throw. Turnover on downs. That next drive. Okay, we're talking about moments in a game, right, where the game is not lost.
No.
They're not playing well, but the game is not lost in the second quarter.
They were
going
to get the ball to start the third quarter.
Christian Wilkins on the very next play gets that big sack.
Right.
They force a punt. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, Adams gets the PI call on the next drive. It's like, all right, we're still moving the ball. It's clunky, but the ball's moving.
Still plenty of time.
Adams catch and run. Devontae drop on third down. That would have been a first. They're forced to punt again.
Yeah.
It's just not you talk. That's rhythm. That's out, or I should say, out of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But it all starts, Vinny. I mean, what do you say with this offensive line? I mean, when they say, you know, they're turning over every stone. I mean, at what point, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson not on the injury report. We joked about it. First time he wasn't on the injury report his entire NFL career. We laughed, had a good time. We're thinking he's going to start. We look at the offense.
At what's been a weak link, by the way.
Yeah, a point of need.
Right.
The offense trots out there.
No Jackson Powers. Yeah.
Remains on the sideline.
Right. I had heard they're probably going to be easing him into. I'm like, what?
Okay, fine. That's fine. You correct me if I'm wrong. I look back at the tape. The first time I saw JPJ was the third quarter.
Yeah, he came in earlier than that. He came in for Dylan Parham somewhere along the line in the first half.
I'm going to have to double check that.
Right.
I'm I'll take your word for it. Mm-hmm. But the first time I saw it was the third quarter.
Yeah.
But the question is, even if he was there earlier in the game, why is he coming in for Dylan Parham? I would argue the highest rated lineman 3 weeks into the season is Dylan Parham.
Right.
Why would you take your best offensive lineman at this point, who is playing exceptionally well, why would you take him off the field in any capacity?
I don't care.
You easing in JPJ, that's fine, but why for him?
Right. Other than, like I said, and I asked Antonio Pierce this, and he said no, that wasn't the reason.
You asked about, what was the question?
Dylan showed up on the injury report last week with a foot injury and was limited, and then I think a full, right? But
he was on there.
He was on there.
Something's
so
clearly bothering him.
Didn't magically get 100%. So I was thinking, okay, so maybe as a way to get Jackson Powers Johnson on the field and then also kind of monitor whatever it is that Dylan is maybe he was on a pitch count is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
With the foot. Like, don't want to push the foot too much.
Which I could buy. I could buy that.
But then I asked, that's the only reason that I could think of why Jackson Powers mm-hmm. Johnson was, you know, was substituting in for Dylan Parham. Unless also maybe there's some plan, because I did see both Dylan and Jackson Powers Johnson in pregame taking snaps at center.
Mm-hmm.
They were working with the quarterbacks at center. There's some people who would argue that they feel Dylan Parham's best position is center.
Mm-hmm.
Are they greasing the wheels for maybe something like that?
It seems
that?
Like an odd time to do that.
And what are you going to do at left guard in that? That you're going to continue to roll with Cody Whitehair over
there? And if that's the thing, and I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying that just seems like an odd time to do it. And that's why I find it hard to believe that they're trying to put Parham on a snap count, because they were doing it in the third quarter and Parham was coming back in. It was a 20-point game late in the third. If you're trying to be cautious with him, just take him out.
And Antonio said, no, that wasn't the reason.
That's what I mean. So hence it causes confusion.
Yeah.
And when you look at the left guard spot, that has clearly been one of the biggest
at
issues.
At least in our perception.
In our estimation. It's not even our estimation. They benched Cody Whitehair in week two because he wasn't performing, put Andrews Pete in, and then benched him in the second half to put Cody back in. And Antonio Pierce says, we're just trying to get through.
So
you have an answer. So that's why the speculation there is, what's happening on that offensive line?
Right.
And hopefully we get some answers today when Antonio Pierce meets with media.
702-365-9200. We'll get your thoughts as well. Out to that West Texas town, working the grid. It's El Paso Raider. Welcome back to the fold, sir.
Good morning, fellas.
How morning.
Doing? God bless. Hey, man. Ooh-wee, where can I start? It's been a long time. Been a long time since I've been on the show, man. And shout out to all my guys out there. But, boy, Vinny, all due respects, remember I came in here 2 years ago when Josh McDaniels got hired. His first game was against the Chargers in L.A. Very first game, I came in here and said, this team looks like crap. Looks like complete different team. Doesn't look on track. Doesn't look like they're buying in. Doesn't look like they're doing anything this season. And everybody was like, oh, panic button, blah, 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 this and that. Oh, don't take yourself off the ledge. It's week one, this and that. Nah. The problem with us Raider Nation is that we know this team from inside out. We know how it looks like. We know when it walks like a duck, it acts like a duck, it is a damn duck. And right now, this team is what it is. This loss yesterday just proved to me that it's the same old Raiders, but even worse. I mean, it's not because we lost. Winning losses happen at games mm-hmm. every time.
Yep.
That's just the way sports is. But it's who we lost to and how we lost. We got our asses mopped all over that field. Dirty. I mean, and everybody out there blaming Mark Davis for this? No. Mark Davis' hands were tied. The players, I'm blaming the players. They came out and said, if you don't hire AP, put a trade package for me. Come on, man. You guys tied his hands. AP, I'm sorry. For everybody out there, I rooted for this man. I thought he was going to be the guy, but the way he coaches, the way he makes those coaching mistakes, and I know he's young and he's learning, but it's too much. We saw it in preseason. We saw it last year. We saw it in preseason. Now we're seeing it again. Like you guys were just talking about right now, how do you take Dylan Parham out and leave Whitehead in there? Or Whitehair, whatever his name is. That dude is a liability. That dude could not do anything. But then you take out Parham? Okay, whatever. That's fine. But then everybody blaming the offense. Who hired this guy? Who hired Luke Getsy? Why? Because he kicked our ass? Let me tell you something. Yeah, he kicked our ass because our team is the same team. We're not a winning team. We're not a winning organization for these players to act like we are. We're coming in here. We come in every season with the hopes of, oh, no, the culture has changed, blah, blah, blah. No, the culture has changed by winning games.
Mm-hmm.
And now this team has not proven that. This team has not proven that. We are tired. We are tired of seeing this team just lose constantly and losing the way they lose. I mean, if we would have lost yesterday and probably just maybe by 3 points, fine. It would still suck because it's the Panthers. But, no, we got mopped. I don't know what to do anymore. Like, how can you fix the run defense? The run defense has been like that since preseason. And you can't do anything about it. I mean, we have the players there. And now we got Max Crosby that hurt. Max Crosby's hurt. Why don't you sit him down? Because all you're doing is doing him a disservice. Because that man is not going to stop. He wants to play, regardless of how hurt he is. And all we're doing is doing him a disservice. Sit him down, let him heal up, because we ain't going nowhere. Plain and simple, we ain't going nowhere. You hire Luke Getsy, AP, all this blah, 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 ill intent, this and that. Nah, man. That wasn't going to win any games. Winning games is out on the field. And your infield coaching is not good. I feel bad for all the Raider Nation out there that showed up. You know, he talked about, you guys show up, we show out. That ain't happening. You know, Raider Nation always shows up. We've been here since Jamarcus Russell, all of that. We always show up. We never disappear. Why? Because it's Raider Nation. But we're tired. We're definitely tired. We're tired of losing. Ain't nobody going to tell me different, but this team ain't going nowhere. And I believe that we need to start looking for a new coach and start looking for a quarterback. Start looking into the future, because this is it, man. I mean, there's nothing else we can do anymore.
Thank you, El Paso Raider, for the call. It's good to hear your voice again, man.
Yeah, I don't know that they need to be looking for a new coach. I think continuity is something that's been in short supply for this organization for a while, and I don't know that, you know, that it does you any good to pull a unplug and plug it back in type of thing again after you know, 1 year into Antonio Pierce's tenure. I do think that, you know, on some level, there's a talent deficiency. We've talked about how the Raiders are good enough to be competitive in every game, and they're good enough to potentially win 9 or 10 games. We talked about that last week. I firmly believe that, but it requires them following a very strict blueprint, and there's really no room for deviation because they're not good enough to be able to not check off all the boxes they have to check off to win games and to be competitive in games. There's certain teams out there that are good enough. If they deviate, they're good enough to still, you know, and they've done it so much that they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. The Raiders have no clue how to win games because they haven't been able to. They haven't shown that they have that going for them. So they have to check off all those boxes, and so there's a very small margin of error. And that goes to the talent of the team. They do need better quarterback play. They need a better quarterback. There's no way at all that they're not going to get to the end of the season and not be looking for a quarterback upgrade. They're biding their time right now with what they have. They feel like they can compete and make do with what they have, but again, it goes back to that following those strict guidelines. One of them is being able to control the line of scrimmage and run the ball, and they just haven't been able to do that. And that's probably the most disappointing thing of this season. Everything that Antonio Pierce has stressed, owning the line of scrimmage, winning the point of attack, being the more physical team on both sides of the line of scrimmage, that has not happened. And when you look at this defensive line, Vince, it's a defensive line that was kind of built to put pressure on the quarterback. And I felt like they would have enough to be able to do that and get after the quarterback and do enough in the run game. I don't think this is a defensive line that was built to stop the run. But that part of that went out the window when Malcolm Kuntz gets hurt, and now Max Crosby is hurt, and you can't get that kind of pressure that you were expecting to get.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Wilkins was supposed to be an answer. I know he's an elite pass rusher, mm-hmm. but he's also a gigantic human that was supposed to help the middle of that defensive line in support. Robert Spillane has been very, very good for the Raiders. That's about it in terms of the run defense. It just has not been there.
And bad run fits.
And it's not even.
And do you see how they're lined up sometimes?
Well, they're running these five wide set. Or
you got guys. You have Charles.
So Snowden is basically mimicking what Max does. And what's interesting about Max lines up wide, extremely wide. Why does he do that? One, it keeps whoever, whether it's the tight end or the tackle, kind of on his P's and Q's of getting upfield. But if it is a run play, Max is athletic enough and long enough that he can dash in and kind of diagnose the play. It's what makes Max an alien. It's what makes him an all-pro and special.
Right.
Charles Snowden is not that.
No.
But you see him lining up on that side, which is why the opponents, anytime they go stretch play
just
or
run
ride,
right to that.
It runs wide and it creates these massive lanes. And if you notice, they're not running Max's side. And they don't run Max's side. But if anything, the other thing is they're just running straight up the middle. They're not doing anything crazy. Andy Dalton yesterday sat there in the shotgun with Hubbard to his right.
I thought they were doing some schematically good things, though. Even in the run game. There was some counter action. There was.
But what I'm saying is, they were getting the push. There was no penetration.
Right.
There was nothing.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. It's not like they were doing these crazy tosses to the outside, spreading the Raiders wide and thin. They were going straight up the middle.
They got tired against the Chargers. They gave up 100 yards on two runs. That just can't happen.
The difference is when, I'm glad you brought up the five on that defensive line, is when they were doing that, Andy Dalton, the veteran that he was checking out of it and doing these little bubble tosses or these little comebacks or these little slants the Raiders did not defend the slant. I stand corrected. Ja'Cory Bennett broke up one of the passes on a slant. After that, every other slant was wide open. Every other dig route over the middle, wide open. Anytime Robert Spillane threatened or feigned that he was blitzing up on the line,
it went over
right over his head. Mm-hmm. Every single time. And one of the many things that was frustrating, but the run defense and the rushing attack, two things that are the quote-unquote identity of this team, have yet to be the identity of this team. And I guess that is the shame on us for thinking how we thought last week that they could continue to get away from that, and they didn't.
Dark Side Don, Robert in San Jose, stay right there. We'll come back with more calls right after this on the Morning Tailgate.
Hey, are you in a little bit of a predicament where you got something to pay and you don't necessarily have the money to pay it right now, the cash to pay it right now? Maybe you're in a position where you need $500 to $5,000 like yesterday, and you're a little bit worried because the credit cards are maxed out or maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. Well, don't sweat it, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now, cash is as close as your phone, and as soon as tomorrow, when you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Here's what you do. Go to LendingStore.com. That's LendingStore.com. Let their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 into your bank account as early as tomorrow. All the details can be found at LendingStore.com.
So, obviously we're going to have to coach it better and be some hard asses on the guys, and guys got to take some rough coaching, because that just didn't see that coming on either side of the ball. We thought we had opportunity to run the ball, and we didn't. We didn't do that at all. I mean, we tried and tried and tried, and just, I would have booed us too, but offensively, defensively, we didn't do a good enough job up front. Not good enough.
Antonio Pierce will speak later today as well. Keep listening to Raider Nation Radio all day long. For JT the Brick from 12 to 2, Q Myers 2 to 5. And, of course, download the free LV Sports Network app. It streams clearly on iPhone and Android. LV Sports Network app, free to use, free to download. And we'll go to your calls and read some more text at 702-365-9200. Thank you for holding out of North Las Vegas. Dark Side Don, go ahead, please.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
So women lie, men lie, but numbers don't lie. So let me give you some numbers. Since 1982, when I became a Raider fan, 305 to 311. That's 305 wins to 311 losses. That's up until at this very moment that we speak. So the 1-2 record that AP got this season. That's at this very moment, 305-311. In that frame or in that context is AP 6-6. Remember, he still hasn't had a full season yet. He's 6-6, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
305-311. So what has changed? Nothing. Nothing has changed since 1982. Nothing has changed. 305-311. That's basically a little under 500. AP is 500. That is the consistency of the Raiders. Remember, Clay, I told you before, you know, Derek Brooks told me this told me about two words in life: persistency and consistency. In order to be, when we talk about those two words, the Raiders need to be persistent in making the league respect them. They need to be persistent in that. They need to think about it every day. How do I make the league respect us? And then the consistency in that is to do what you have to do every day to make sure that that persistency, that thought that goes on your mind about respect is done every day. They're not doing that, obviously, because they came out yesterday and got hammered, got cooked. You can't tell Raider Nation it's going to be this way and that way and expect us to jump and hold that tight and think and believe and constantly have faith in your word if it hasn't changed since 1982. That's the problem with this team. This team is consistent. Let me give you another example. I remember Darren McFadden had the best career, best season of his career with the Raiders. And you know what scheme they ran? A power scheme. You know what happened when they changed to a zone scheme? He had one of the worst seasons that he's ever had as a Raider. Every time that the Raiders have tried to do a zone run scheme, it's always been a wash from the time that it's hit the league. That's consistent. So the Raiders aren't doing anything that they haven't been doing. We're talking consistency. That's been the whole talk of this show, consistency. They're being consistent. They're being consistent. As Raider fans and as Raider Nation, we're going to continue to be consistent. We're going to always root for our Raiders. You know, win, lose, or draw, Raider Nation for life. That's going to always be what we do. We got too much stake in the game. We've got too much confidence in this team, too much emotion that's been given to this team to switch up now. But at the same time, if you're asking us to be consistent, the consistency that you've been giving us needs to change.
Thank you, Dark Side Don from North Las Vegas. Great point.
You know, yesterday, go back a week ago, and in Baltimore, you had players snickering at the media and, you know, the national perception, the disrespect, all the disrespect. And one guy in that locker room, Davante Adams, was asked, "What does this mean? The fourth quarter today?" He's like, "Well, it doesn't mean we won the Super Bowl. We're gonna go win the Super Bowl. It's something to build on." And I told Davante yesterday, I go, "You're the one guy in the locker room saying didn't win anything with this one quarter of good football in Baltimore when everyone else was talking about the disrespect and blah 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 and all the disrespect." And he said, "This is about consistency." I'm gonna read you the quote. "It's got to become a part of your identity. It's got to be about who you show up as every single day. It's not like, oh, let's come out here and play hard like one day. It's more about what's the play style that you have as a team. And we haven't established ourselves as a team on either side of the ball in any phase." Dark Side just talked about consistency. Davante talks about consistency all the time. He's the last guy to be talking about disrespect. He saw what it looked like in Green Bay, and nobody needed to be begging for anybody's respect in Green Bay. Why? Because they earned it. They didn't have to talk about it. All you had to do was watch them and respect what they were doing. No, they didn't win Super Bowls, but they got to NFC Championship games. They were always in the conversation. They were always winning 12, 13, 14 games a season. They were one of the more consistent, respected teams in the NFL, and they didn't have to beg anybody for it. When you have to beg people for your respect, for their respect, it means that you haven't earned it. That's what that means to me. When you're telling me I got to respect you, you're telling me I got to respect you, it means that you just haven't displayed the traits of a team that needs to be respected. That gets earned, Vince. You don't ask me to respect you
What is it? Don't tell me you're great. Show me.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's simple as that. And I think we're past that at this point. Like the respect, the look at me, that's done. Like that's officially done.
It should
be. For this group, for this installment of the Raiders, I don't care if they rattle off the next seven games.
I'll respect them.
Then we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
that should never be a point of discussion again.
Right. Right. And don't equate skepticism and a lack of belief with I'm disrespecting you. That's just the biggest load of crap I've ever heard. I'm not disrespecting you. When disrespect is I'm talking bad about you, I'm running you down. We'll never do that. But if I'm saying I don't know what the Raiders are going to do this week, I'm skeptical of what the Raiders are going to do this week. I have to see it more before I buy in. That's not disrespect. That is not disrespect. That's you just haven't earned it yet because you keep stubbing your toes in these type of situations. And then you go, not only do you demand the respect and talk down to people who you felt disrespected to you, and you go, you follow all of that with feeding right into the narrative and basically validating the skepticism that people have of you because you can't take care of business consistently. That's on you. It's not on. Don't blame others for not having confidence in you. Earn that confidence.
You don't get power. You take it. Robert in San Jose, thank you for holding. Summation, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Clay, Vince, and Vinny. After yesterday, I was maybe doing a little more reevaluation of what I think of the talent level on this team. And, you know, dark side dawn there in terms of consistency or lack thereof, where the Raiders have really killed themselves over the last decades is the lack of talent and lack of good drafting. When I look at this line, Colt Miller has not been good this year. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he's been Colt Miller, but he's been awful this year. You guys have talked about the left guard spot just being a zero. Andre James is average at best. Dylan Parham is a decent guard, but that's about it. And I said to you guys before the season started, I thought Thayer Munford was a better left tackle than he is a right tackle. Maybe DJ Glaze will take a hold of this job. But I see a lack of talent. Mm-hmm. After Christian Wilkins and perhaps John Jenkins a little bit, but he's 34. He's played a lot of football, a lot of miles on his legs. We don't have defensive tackles that can stop the run. I was looking at Tyree Wilson yesterday. He still is late getting off the ball.
Yes.
Not a quick mm-hmm. twitch edge rusher. He's not a power guy like Nick Bosa. I really don't know who he is as a player, and I'm really starting to get worried about that guy. I was hoping that JPJ would start yesterday, and I'm expecting him to start next Sunday to at least change something up on that line. Until we get our lines together, football has not changed. I was looking at ESPN a little bit before I left for work this morning, and Rex Ryan said good teams can stop the run when they know you're going to run, and good teams can run the ball when the other team knows you're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do either. We don't have the line of scrimmage to do either. Football has not changed. Who wins the line of scrimmage usually wins the game. And I'm not going to criticize Tom Telesco in terms of drafting Brock Bauer. He guy's going to be a stud. But this offensive line needed to be addressed more than it was. Brock Bauer is like, you know, you live in a run-down apartment and you buy yourself a Lamborghini. Get the house.
Yeah, and I
great call, Robert. Thank you.
I think Tom recognizes, you know, that. But what do they say? Rome's not built, you know, in a day. And you can't fix all the problems that you have. When you have an opportunity to draft a Brock Bowers, I think you take it, even though there was definitely need for offensive line help. But it's just sometimes a decision that you have to make, and the offensive line, as we see, Clay, how many times did we say this? It's not going to be the best offensive line in the league, but there's every reason to believe it could be top 15, which should be enough. But they haven't. They haven't even come close to being even in that on that level.
Right, and even Eric Allen, who kind of said it's still not the talent is not good enough to stave off and overcome bad play or even injury.
Right,
if that starts happening to the offensive line, you got some real problems.
And that's really that's just a summation of the entire team. You're just not good enough to not show up the way you're supposed to show up. You're not good enough to overcome that. You haven't earned anything to be overlooking anybody. The Raiders now have the same exact record as the Carolina Panthers. And they got their boat raced yesterday against those Carolina Panthers. So when I look at both teams, I'm wondering, all right, who's the better team? Clearly, if you go by what happened yesterday, the Carolina Panthers are just a better team than the Raiders right now.
What makes Week 3 frustrating more than most is Robert brought up the talent. Are the Raiders talent deficient? I would argue no. They have talent.
They have talent. I don't know if they have.
But what I'm saying.
What are you saying? Like,
they're not devoid of talent.
Okay.
I would argue the Carolina Panthers, from a top to bottom, are devoid of talent compared to the rest of the NFL. They did not lose the game on Sunday because they were devoid of talent. They lost the game because they didn't show up.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder about the offensive line. I'll give you devoid of talent.
Yeah, that's fine. But I'm talking about I'm talking about as a whole.
Right.
From a top to bottom roster, they're 48 that they played yesterday. Mm-hmm. They did not lose the game because they are devoid of talent. Lose the game because they had the inferior talent roster. They lost it because they didn't show up.
Correct.
So while I understand what Robert was saying in terms of years past with drafts and having more talent, that's fine. We can have that discussion with another team a different day. That was not the reason yesterday.
No.
And that's the problem. Because the team, that is not only the game you should have won, and we can go on what it should have looked like. They weren't even competitive.
Right.
That's the problem.
And this is where the fork is in the road for me is, like, they're not devoid of talent, and I agree with you on that. But they're not so talented that they can just do that. That's where, like, what I'm saying. They have talent. There's talent on this roster, but there's not enough talent on this roster, and not enough top end talent on this roster to just be able to say we could show up and beat the you know what out of this team or just win this game. You're not that good.
Which is why the business decision quote continues to take hold of, like, where I am at with this team, the real mindset of some of these players, because you talk about players not, you know, we don't listen to the media, you know, it's all around
sure
us, but we don't read it. But you talk about a team who read their press clippings. You talk about a team that read every good thing about them that there was on social media. And there's no other reason for it. If you're not thinking you're on this higher horse than you actually are.
Right. I agree.
It is not a – Week 3 was not a talent issue.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. And the rest of the season, the other teams, where they'll finish because of their talent, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Week 3 was not a talent issue.
And
they did not show up.
Right. I agree. And it goes back to what we've been saying. You have to follow a very strict blueprint to put yourself in positions to you have the talent if you follow that roadmap. But if you deviate it or just skip steps or say or not come, you know, mentally correct, you're not good enough to overcome that. So they have to understand that who they really are and what their talent level truly is and what they're capable of doing and not capable of doing if they don't check off the boxes that we've talked about. And that's what's so frustrating is that they continue to play with that fire. Like they can not, you know, disregard a couple of those boxes and still feel like they can win. You can't. And you've shown that so many different times. Yesterday being the latest example, and I would contend that was the worst loss that I've covered since covering the Raiders. It's not even the Indianapolis Colts coming in there with a high school coach rivals this one, because there was actually some belief in the Raiders. That one was, oh, they got a bad team coming in, they should be able to win this game. This one was, they're coming off a great win, and they've got a bad team coming in. This is the one where they just totally take care of business, and they completely failed.
I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions.
Wrapping up hour number three here on the morning tailgate. It's been a, what'd you say, Clay? Dreary?
It's like a long walk in the rain.
Long,
a cold rain.
No umbrella. Wind just whipping in your face.
You're soaked from head to toe. Sometimes rains can cleanse you.
Yeah. Sometimes.
But I feel like
not
a brown
today.
Rat.
Not today.
Yeah,
not,
we.
Not today. Your
we
socks
know
are
what,
soaked.
We know what cleansing is going to look like, right?
Yeah, that's, and that's the beauty of the NFL.
String together some wins.
That's the beauty of the NFL.
It's
in 6 days.
All possible.
In 6 days, that's the beauty, right? That's the beauty.
But you got to do it 2, 3, 4 times.
But it starts today.
It does. It has to. And Devontae said you can't get negative now. You got to still stay positive and obviously, because it is a long season. But it's just super disappointing how they followed. And you know, Colt Miller said yesterday, Vic and I were talking to him, I fully thought we were going to build off what we did last week.
Business decisions were made on Sunday, and now Antonio Pierce says they'll be making some business decisions of their own. He will meet with the media at 11 o'clock. Christian Wilkins shortly after. We will bring you all of that here on Raider Nation Radio and the Morning Tailgate. Have a great rest of your day.